and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from many of our listeners telling us how much this broadcast is a blessing to them. We have phone calls from folks who have problems with their kids, with their families, all telling us that God in Our City is a big blessing to them. Today, I need your help. I need you to partner with me to help keep God in Our City right here where it's supposed to be on WMCA Live every Sunday morning. Could you today be a prayer partner with us? Would you take the time to pray weekly for God in Our City? Beyond that, perhaps you could be a promoter of God in Our City. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, someone you know in need and tell them to tune into our broadcast. Or perhaps you would text someone or place the fact that God in Our City is on up on your Facebook page. And finally, our church, Calvary Chapel, absorbs the majority of the costs involved with making this broadcast possible. But today, we need your help. Would you be willing to partner with us financially? If you would you please just call 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Click on the donate button and contribute today. Thank you so much for listening. Now, back to the broadcast.
It's amazing in the summer, the early service becomes the most popular. Fills up. I don't know why. Oh, the beach. Speaking of the beach, next Saturday, Calvary has a beach day at Ocean Grove. It's kind of an informal thing. Come on down. Sam, why do we need a beach day? Why do we need a beach day?
Well, I got to keep working on my tan.
Wow.
Just saying.
You do look a little lighter.
Yeah, man.
Wow. You're working on it.
Yeah, I'm working.
I desperately need to do something and nothing works, right? Our worship team has a few more songs to sing. Tomorrow night begins an amazing adventure here. It's our VBS week with Maker Fun Factory. And there'll be kids and workers here all next week from probably about 7 to 9 or 10 at night. So we encourage you to bring your kids here. If you hear within the sound of my voice, 30 Maple Parkway, come on down. We would love to have you. We'd love to have your kids. It'll be an amazing, amazing adventure. And Jay, you've got a couple more songs?
Yes, sir.
A couple more worship songs. This is my favorite picture, I think, in all the world. This is taken at Ocean City, New Jersey. That bird cooperated perfectly, and the sun is just coming up. You know, God does that show every single day. His mercies are new every morning. Take it away, Jay.
Let's all stand. Today's the day the Lord has made.
Casting my best aside, I'm living my best behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours. So much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day.
Thank you, Lord. Higher than the mountains that we face, you're stronger than the power of the grave. Listen, you're higher than the mountains.
Kind of move on in, and let's just have a word of prayer. Hold hands with the person next to you. We lost a police officer this week. Lord, we just come before you. Lord, we ask for your ministry in the life of Officer Familia's family, Lord. We thank you so much for her service, Lord, to our city. We pray for her three kids, God, her extended family. God, in the middle of all this, please, Lord, may they feel your embrace.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Please hold on to them. Give them comfort. Thank you, Lord, that you'll take care of them, that you are the Father of the fatherless. Lord, this is way too young. Kids way too young to lose their mama. Please, Lord, protect our other first responders. Lord, maybe we just don't pray enough for them. We pray for our cops, Lord, our firefighters, our EMS workers, Lord. Lord, please protect them. Give those in authority wisdom, guidance, and conviction to make sure that they're taken care of, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the provision, any way, any shape, any form, of bulletproof glass in every police car in our city, God. Please, Lord, make that happen. Lord, as we come before you, we do pray for our leaders and those in authority. And again, we pray, Lord, that those in charge of keeping us safe will be able to do that. Lord, our world is spinning, spinning, spinning. But thank you, Lord, it's not out of control because you're in control. Thank you, Lord, that North Korea doesn't surprise you. You've known about them and all the difficulties that are there. We pray for the Christian witness there. We pray for the evangelical underground church there. They will be used of you greatly. Lord, we thank you that as we pray to you today, we can touch, Lord, the world. So, Lord, please undertake in the things that we pray. And, Lord, for the message today, we pray that you will just minister in each of our hearts the thing that is pleasing to you. Use Pastor Paul, Lord, in an amazing way today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're getting seated, Jonathan's going to come and sing a song. And Pastor Paul is going to share our message today. A message of encouragement about God's concern for us.
Sing with me. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Let's sing it one more time.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime that I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Anytime.
And anytime that I don't know just what to do, I will cast all of my cares upon you.
Thank you, Jonathan. When Pastor David asked me to speak this morning, first of all, in the early service, everybody said, well, Pastor Dave must be out of town if he's asking you to speak. I guess you're all here because you thought he was still here. But you're stuck with me this morning. The mic is a little hot. It's not me. It's not me. I'm just a folklorist. I am privileged to be able to be a part of this one topical summer series and to be able to share this morning. Now, as we look at our first set of palm trees, we started with letting go and then moved all the way through with those five palms. I want to remind you of where you started. You're all challenged, and I think virtually everyone came forward to be able to say, I'm letting go. Please pray for me in that regard to let go. And then we moved through with the next of those messages, through those five messages, and just when you thought we had filled the palm tree, we went ahead and planted another one. And last week, we started with our connecting in. It was an exciting time where everyone again was challenged to come forward and to present their puzzle piece, to be put on the wall in our sanctuary, to be able to say, count me in as a part of this ministry. I want to be a part of prayer. I want to be a part of love. I want to be a part of service. I want to be a part of hospitality. And you placed your puzzle piece on the wall. And the exciting thing for me as I was called up to help place those puzzle pieces was holding on to one of the puzzle pieces and found it wasn't easy to disconnect from it. It wasn't, because it is hooked in. Sometimes we have things that are so easy to disconnect from that as soon as you connect, it's easy to fall apart. But with us and our puzzle pieces, we found that we're tied together. Tied together to be used. And now we move through this next palm tree. We haven't taken the other, we haven't uprooted the first one. We've just planted another one. And we have three more messages to follow after this message, and who knows? We may find another palm tree to plant. But the important thing is as we're encouraged in these messages, and you can go back and look at these messages even online and go back over them, and you're able to take notes on the messages that you've had and hold on to those notes from each week, that you're encouraged to grow in the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had that connecting with. And this morning, we're looking at resting in. My resting in message is an easy message. It's a music message. But you don't have to listen to me singing, because I only sing for my own amazement. But I love music. And what I love about music, I'm going to go past that for just a minute to right here. What I love about music is there's power in music. You see, as we sing songs, as we listen to songs, they go out and they move around and they come back to us. And they go out and they move around and they come back to us. And what happens to us as we've listened or sung a song a few times? It's stuck. It's stuck. We remember it. We go away humming that tune. And sometimes we say, I can't get that tune out of my head. Well, I've just convicted all of you who say you can't memorize Scripture. Because if you spend the time meditating on God's Word, it's going to get stuck the very same way. It's going to go out. It's going to move around. It's going to convict us. It's going to come back. And it's going to go out and move around. It's going to come back. It's going to convict us. It's going to go out, move around. Pretty soon, we're sharing that Scripture with others. Because it's inextricably become a part of our lives. Well, a few years ago, going back into the mid-80s, and that's where I'm going to go back to this other side, we had the Care Bears that came out. Remember those Care Bears? You know, they came out and everybody was getting a Care Bear. They became so popular. And there's 10 Care Bears that came out. Bedtime Bear, Birthday Bear, Chair Bear, Friend Bear, Sunshine Bear, Good Luck Bear, Grumpy Bear, my favorite, Love a Lot Bear, Tender Heart Bear, Whoosh Bear. You know, and everybody says, wow, look at all those bears. It gives all the attributes of caring. Well, just when we thought that that was the case, Care Bears came out with 48 more bears, adding more attributes. Well, you like to think that, you know, they felt that there's more attributes we needed to know, but I think it's because they knew that they could make a little more money off of us because we were buying those bears. And even today, I've been driving around, and I'll see people have in the back window, they'll have Care Bears lined up in their back window. You see, we can hold on to some of those things, and we can say, you know, that signifies who I am. That tells you about my caring and who I am. But we know that that doesn't do it. That just doesn't do it. It begins, and it's something that we can use, but now we move on to something else that can be a part of that. And then we look at the CARES chorus that Jonathan just sang for us. In 2010, that came out. That's it, folks, right there. One stanza, the CARES chorus. But do you know what happened with that in 2010? That came into the churches, and virtually every church was singing the CARES chorus. And some churches, it came in for thematically for almost a year, they were singing every Sunday, singing the CARES chorus. And it stuck. People held on to that CARES chorus. We look at that, and we see that it's okay. It gives us a lot of information. And if it reminds us of where we need to cast those cares, where we need to lay our burdens, and letting us know who is going to be caring for us when we don't know what to do, then it's served its purpose. It's that tune that went out, circled around, and came back. Went out, circled around, and came back. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about Psalm 34. And as we look at Psalm 34, we're going to look at it as an arrangement of stanzas. And four stanzas that the psalmist David set out for us. An arrangement of certain number of lines, usually four or more, sometimes having fixed length. It's a meter or rhyming scheme forming a division of a poem. You see, it's melodic. It stands out for us. The previous psalm, Psalm 33, ends with these two verses. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. What a great way to end that psalm. And we know that David didn't look at Psalm 33 before he wrote Psalm 34, but we see that as a flowing piece. But I want to give you some insight as to Psalm 34. The Song of David. And we read that psalm this morning as our scripture verse this morning. But where was David? Where did he find himself? Not at peace. He found himself running from the king. He found himself being chased around, and he was so worried about that he was going to be done in that he pretended to be crazy because he knew that that would protect him because no one was going to go after and look to the person that was crazy. I think some of us do that today. We let our lives be a life that just kind of feigns insanity, feigns that we have nothing to give in hopes that the church will just let us be, will let us go. Why do we want to go through that pain? Why do we want to have that struggle in our life? You know, we know that David was called a man after God's own heart, yet he found himself in pain, found himself in misery. The man after God's own heart, what did he do at the beginning of Psalm 34 with that? Not praise God, he freaked out. He acted like he was insane. He pretended he was crazy because that way the king and the Philistines would not touch him because they didn't want to touch anybody who was insane. And that worked. It delivered him from their hands. Well, stanza number one that we're going to look at is an ascription of praise in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 4. It's who gets the praise. Now, as we go through that, I want you to remember that at this point with the psalmist, he wasn't believing what he was writing. He wasn't living what he was writing because he was still freaked out. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It sounds great, doesn't it? But if you're not living that, what are they? Empty words. It's not part of that stanza that goes out and moves around and comes back. It just kind of goes out and fades away. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, what a follow-up with that verse. But again, if you don't believe it, it just kind of goes out and drops off and fades away. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Can you imagine that? We're all saying, come on, let's exalt his name together. And everybody says, oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. It's not a part of our lives. We're struggling with that. Where this first stanza should be a stanza that we're rejoicing in. This first stanza should be a stanza that is just lighting us up before God. It's just kind of going out and falling away. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Now, right there, I kind of believe that that's where David is starting to begin and say, you know, I'm starting to get it again. I'm starting to get it again. And that may be where we're seeing with this first stanza starting to wrap around, and it's beginning its way back. And the melody being sweet offering to God. I sought the Lord and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. You know, if only David had done that in the beginning, he wouldn't have failed so dreadfully. If only we would do that from the get-go in our life before God, we wouldn't experience many of the failures that we experience. David found himself having that bitter experience and living through that to bring him to an end of himself to trust in God. Is that where we need to go? Some of us may be sitting here right now and saying, you know, Pastor, I'm not at the end of my rope yet. I'm still on that downward spiral. I still can't hear any of that sweet music coming back to me. It just kind of goes out and it falls away. How sad. My heart grieves when I read through what David went through because he allowed himself to fall so far away from the God who called him a man after his own heart. Well, we have stanza number two. Stanza number two is a personal experience of the delivering power of God. How great is that? Personal experience. Well, I'm not sure I want to have any personal experience, because if I have personal experience, it means I have to go through something. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time telling anybody else about my God if it hasn't touched me. If I haven't had some kind of personal experience with that. So we look at that next stanza, verses 5 through 10. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. I think of the Sundays that I love, the greeting time that we have. And you can tell when you're going around and greeting those that have the radiant faces. Those that are saying, I'm glad to be here. And I love the Lord. And then I see some that don't want to get out of the stationary place that they have in the auditorium, and they will say, I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside, and I'm not going to follow this love that you're talking about. But if we allow our faces to be radiant, they can be a reflection of who we are in our love for the Lord. This poor man cried. This is my verse. I don't know about you, but this is my verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What an exciting verse. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any troubles. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any heartache. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any struggles. What it means is that you're saved out of them. He's not letting you go. He's not releasing you. He's holding on to you, and he's saying, I promise to never leave or forsake you. You see, he's already said that. But are we like David as he's understanding now, or are we like David as he was at the beginning of Psalm 34, not really believing it, not really feeling and experiencing the love that was in his God? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Delivers them. You know, how exciting it is to be delivered. How exciting is it to have a delivery come to you? You know, it made me think of Louisa. She loves to get her Oriental Trading package almost weekly being delivered to her, because it's not for her, it's for the kids that she's working with and that she's even working with right now downstairs in Sunday school. She gets so excited about that. I open up that box and I just see work. I see things that have to be put together. But she opens that box and she sees the faces of those kids. The faces of those she's working with. She waits for that delivery, then to be able to deliver that joy and that love and those lessons to the children that she's working with. He encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, my youngest grandson, every time he gets a new taste that you're giving him, his first reaction is to make this sour face and pull his kind of shake back there with it, even if it tastes good, because he responds the same way to the very first taste of everything. But the one thing that's really cool is that he doesn't refuse to taste it. And then he finds, hey, this ain't so bad. This is even pretty good. And then he doesn't just want to taste it. He wants to eat everything that's on your plate too. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you, I think, are still sitting around here today and saying, I'm not to that point yet. Oh, I come to church, or I may be listening on the radio today, but I'm not to that point to where I can really taste who the Lord is. But I want to challenge you. He's good. He's good. He's awesome. And once you really taste and see who he is, it can't go back. He's that good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Do you hear that? See, this is David as he's really understanding now what's going on in this psalm, in this music that he's sending out and coming back around. As I'm learning and I'm trusting and I'm fearing the Lord, because I know if I fear him, there'll be no lack. The young lions want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack and knew no good thing. You know, I learned something a couple of weeks ago with when I was in New Zealand with my grandkids. We were watching this animal show, and we learned about the lions. You know, you have these lions, the men, the males with the big manes and everything. They're actually pretty lazy. They send the lioness out, their wives out, and they say, "Woman, go hunt." And the woman, she's not too good at hunting. Well, it's probably because she's taking care of the young, she's providing for the den that they're living in, and she's also taking care of that lazy lion, king of the beasts. But statistically, lions miss out and lose out on 70% of the prey that they go after. They lack. But if we seek the Lord, we'll lack no good thing. There are many things that you and I think we want, but they're not good for us. But if we seek Him, if God withholds something that we wanted very much, we can be sure that would be not a good thing for us. Do you get that? Sometimes we get so focused on, I want this, I have to have this. This is something that I have to have in my life. And we get driven by that rather than looking and saying, Lord, if you want me to have this, or if you want me to go in this direction, let it be your will. Because I know that I will lack nothing if you so want me to have it. Can we look to that? Can we see that as being a part of our life? Then it can move us into that third stanza, the path of life for the believer. Parents and grandparents, this one's for you. This one's for you, and it's for all of us, but it's for you to be able to teach it on a regular basis. Because this is an important stanza that can go out, come around, and come back. Go out, come around, and come back. Come, O children. Listen to me. See, it's for kids. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Because that's where we should be. That's what we should be looking to do, is to say, I want to be a part of that teaching process. I want to speak into your life. And I can do it because God's been speaking into mine. What an awesome place to be, isn't it? To be able to say, God's speaking into my life, I can speak into yours. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Wow. Talk about a lesson to be taught to our kids, that we desire life. We love the many days that we may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge that we have of looking where God wants us to be and how He wants to use us. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Turn away from evil and seek peace. Challenge us to do the right thing. The right stuff to be a part of our lives. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. I want my children and my grandchildren to be able to say that their father, their grandfather, sought to be righteous. What an important thing. And that applies to each of us. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut them from the earth. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and to cut them off from the earth. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be cast aside and where when I stand before God, He says, what have you done for me? What have you sought to do that would be worthwhile? David had been speaking deceit. What did he get for it? What did he get for it? Nothing but misery. But if we take this and we say, I want it to really be a part of my life, I really want to weekly reinforce this. Where's it going? It's going to come back and come back and come back. But stanza four, the position of the trusting soul. This is the shortest stanza. It's only two lines. It's the shortest stanza, but it's an important stanza in relationship to us. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. When the who? The righteous. When the righteous cry for help. So often we want to say is, you know, that's when I want to go to my God or go to God is when I have trouble, in time of trouble. That's when I want to say, oh, Lord, help me. I don't need him any other time. But what I'm saying is I don't want to seek to be righteous all the time. Only when things are really, really bad. And since I'm among those that haven't fallen to the complete depths yet, I still have a ways to go. So I don't have to do that. But what happens when we say we're going to wait until we are in the depth and the deep in the deepest point in our troubles in life? Are we going to count that that's going to be the time that we're going to call out to God, that we're going to be remembering and want God to remember us? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. What a challenge and what a hope there is for me. Because I've been brokenhearted in my life. I've had times when I just look and say, you know, why did I do that? How did I get to where I am? But then when I'm reminded, he's still near to me. He still wants to be able to help me out. He still cares about me. And that he saves the crushed in spirit. I really see the hope. The hope that's there. You see, this is that song in Psalm 34 that moves full circle for us. It moves out. It comes around. And it gets bigger as it goes through there, as we saw in that diagram. And then it moves back to us. And as we go over that and we listen to that and we teach it more, it goes back out and it circles around and it comes back to us. The world is full of people with broken hearts, shattered hopes. But the incredible thing is that the Lord is in the business of ministering to those in special needs. You know, I was so excited when last year we as a church made a decision that we're going to be classified and we want to be known in this community where God has placed us as a church who ministers to special needs. And what we found as we had that great event this last fall is that we found that there were so many people that came out to that prom night for children of special needs that their parents were saying, we haven't found a church that really cares about my son or my daughter. Well, I'm not boasting in us, but what I'm saying is that we looked at this puzzle piece, this connecting in, and looking and saying, we're going to make a difference. But where do we go from there? Where do we have our lives go for our lives and our ministry before God? Do we look and say, oh, it's a one-shot deal? It's a one-time experience. You know, and let people and let the ministry and let the community go find something else because I'm just going to sit back and fall back into my seat in the sanctuary and pretend again that I'm insane so nobody bothers me. Nobody touches me. Today, let these four stanzas lead us to get closer to our God and further away from the world's deceit and misery as we listen to the music. And Jonathan's going to be coming up.
Benefits, really what goes into it. So say you had 2 teaspoons of ground turmeric, then
refundable.
Purity knows you're going to love these. They want you to try it. They know you're going to tell your friends.
Copper, potassium. I mean, that's what I think we really want people to understand is one little thing can come with 8 or 9 benefits. And
food. And I know we talk a lot about supplements, and I take a lot of them. But the base, the ground zero, as it were, for your health adventure is going to be food, Kelly. I mean,
yeah.
There's all these different nutrients that you look up. I mean, you can look up any food, and you'll find a whole panoply of wonderful things that it contains. And that's the whole point, you know, trying to get as much good, natural, unprocessed foods as possible, getting rid of the silly stuff, which is excess sugar, especially. Refined carbohydrates, all those kind of things, and add the stuff that we've been eating for millennia, you know, to help our body do what it needs to do. And from that point, as your base point, so to speak, in terms of like a rocket taking off from the pad, now we add the other supplements that just makes the food even more valuable. So it's a triad, as it were, in terms of food, supplements, and then, you know, special items. But it's necessary, and we can't get by. Don't kid yourself that you can just out-supplement a bad diet. That's not going to happen. You know, right? Do you think so, Kelly?
No, I don't think you can, and I don't think you can out-train a bad diet either. And I think that's one of the interesting parts is that, hey, we'll think, I'm going to go get exercise, I'm going to take a stroll around the block, or I'm going to join a gym, which is great. We love that about when people make those life changes. But you also can't watch these different TV shows when they have this hot new product out and everybody thinks it's going to be a miracle lifesaver, because you're not. It's not going to work. Once you get diet under control, then it's better off. If you think about a diet regimen, we're talking about foods that we'll share with you later in the show, which is lean protein, similar to the Mediterranean diet, right, Carrie?
Absolutely. Mediterranean kind of / paleo kind of those kind of things. Right.
But I can share firsthand, and I mean, we're pretty honest and upfront on this show. I mean, we've had our own health challenges. I mean, when I started having adrenal fatigue and thyroid issues, I packed on the weight. I mean, I had never been overweight, you know, growing up and different things like that. And fast forward, I was almost 50 pounds overweight, and that was really hard for me to kind of stomach, no pun intended, in a way. And so I started to say, okay, well, I'm going to start doing different things. I worked in some different supplements. Allolife was one of the things that I worked in, the Healthy and Slim Daily Greens and the Cherry Berry to kind of get me on my way. But then I started exercising. And even though I started exercising, I'd still come home and I'd order a pizza 2 nights a week. And then I felt myself not going anywhere. And it wasn't until that I personally started saying, okay, food does matter. It's not for entertainment all the time, you know, coming from an Italian culture of food is love. I mean, when you get with your family and your friends, what do you want to do today? Let's meet for lunch. Let's meet for dinner. It becomes kind of this tumbleweed effect of, okay, I can still go and do these things, but I need to not order, you know, the bread and the shrimp scampi every single time. It's looking for healthier alternatives to be able to manage your diet, especially if you're going to start exercising. You'll go a lot farther and you'll get a better result, in my opinion, living it firsthand for my own body.
And you don't want to be a mean judgment person, but it's so easy to observe those kinds of things that you're talking about, Kelly. I mean, people have been doing it for a long time. When you go to the grocery store or whatever, and you look at what's in a person's basket, and you kind of look at the person, and again, I'm not being mean in this respect at all, but it's, you can see, you can just see kind of what's going on in a person's life by what they're buying. I mean, it doesn't have to just be yourself. I mean, you know that. You've observed it. But it's difficult, and you have an obligation in a sense, and I feel that's part of what we do, why we do the show, to let just people know that, hey, a lot of the stuff that happens, and stuff's going to...
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
Hello again. This is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from many of our listeners telling us how much this broadcast is a blessing to them. We have phone calls from folks who have problems with their kids, with their families, all telling us that God in Our City is a big blessing to them. Today, I need your help. I need you to partner with me to help keep God in Our City right here where it's supposed to be on WMCA Live every Sunday morning. Could you today be a prayer partner with us? Would you take the time to pray weekly for God in Our City? Beyond that, perhaps you could be a promoter of God in Our City. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, someone you know in need and tell them to tune into our broadcast. Or perhaps you would text someone or place the fact that God in Our City is on up on your Facebook page. And finally, our church, Calvary Chapel, absorbs the majority of the costs involved with making this broadcast possible. But today, we need your help. Would you be willing to partner with us financially? If you would you please just call 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Click on the donate button and contribute today. This is Pastor Dave Watson. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.